I hold no animosity toward dolphins and was wrong to use a hurtful stereotype.
Sure, the colonel said as he gave a big, obvious wink.
Tom sighed. The colonel paused to wipe his brow with a handkerchief. It was very humid in the primordial jungles of Kentucky.
Anyways, what brings you all the way out to my dimension?
There are rumors that Korea Tech is attempting to take over all of the, I will call them, alignment-challenged companies in the multiverse. You are among their number. I was curious if you knew if any in particular would go after Wendell.
The Sea Cow is a financial genius. Without him, the whole deal falls apart, so any of them might want him dead. I'd have taken him myself and fed him to my flock, but manatees are fatty, and raptors get sluggish after a big meal like that.
Fortunately, I believe you. If it turned out the claim was against another one of his clients, it would require some finesse to come to an equitable solution. He'd never be voted number one in customer service for the fourth year in a row if he started shooting his own clients. Do any of them in particular stand out to you?
Now that you mention it, there's one shady type who holds a grudge. Personally, I check out Bill Nye.
The science guy?
More like the megalomaniacal science jerk.
Tom knew of him and did not care for Bill Nye at all. As a children's television show host, he'd been okay once, but he'd been driven mad with power, and now he was giving all bow-tie wearers a bad name. I did not think Bill Nye would be into Grand Theft Manatee.
Oh, those two got into a heated argument recently. Bill Nye hates rising sea levels. Manatees think they're great. Really opens up new real estate opportunities for them. They went at it on Twitter until Bill blocked him because Wendell made fun of his song, My Sex Junk.
Well, to be fair, My Sex Junk is quite possibly, literally, the worst thing ever made.
I'd agree, Tom, and if this encounter was ever recorded into another one of those newfangled audiobooks of yours, I'd encourage listeners to go plug Bill Nye's My Sex Junk into YouTube and listen themselves to see we ain't exaggerating.
The colonel gestured at the unconscious velociraptor.
Anyways, you want I should fry this one up for you?
Tom still had important business to attend to, but it was rather difficult to provide excellent customer service on an empty stomach. Thank you, Colonel. Please make it a to-go bucket. The colonel waited until Tom Stranger's mech disappeared into the atmosphere before speaking aloud.
All righty, then. Tom's gone. You can come out now.
There was a weird twisting of light as an invisible kidnapper floated through the jungle. As suspected, the nefarious beings had been watching the whole exchange to make sure the colonel had honored their deal.
I did just like you asked and sent Tom off on a wild goose chase. I said the same thing to those manatee bounty hunters that came by earlier. Now pay up.
A little bottle appeared as the invisible creature tossed it to him. The colonel caught it and greedily read the label.
Ah, the rarest of my 11 herbs and spices all the way from Arrakis.
Ground-up sandworm kept the meat so tender and juicy it warped the very fabric of space and time. Chuckling, the colonel dropped the spice into his pocket.
Pleasure doing business with you fellas.
But suddenly another invisible creature materialized behind him and ripped a spark plug wire out of his jetpack. The engine sputtered, and he fell into a giant fern.
Hey!
The kidnappers laughed at him as they levitated away.
You good-for-nothing double-crossing scallywags!
The colonel shouted. Realizing he'd been had, he pulled out the spice bottle and unscrewed the cap and sniffed.
What? This is just paprika. Come back here. Nobody bamboozles the colonel. Nobody. Mark my words, you seedy ruffians. You'll pay for this.
Except they were already gone. Grumbling thoughts of revenge upon the tricksters, the colonel got up, only to trail off as he realized he was surrounded by deadly velociraptors.
Stay. Bad dinosaurs.
He reached for his anti-raptor whistle, only to discover the kidnappers had snagged that too.
Well, ain't this a pickle?
The most dangerous meal deal pounced. Washington, D.C., Earth, 169-J-00561. Tom Stranger had been to this particular dimension a lot recently. It contained Jimmy's home planet, a place so odd and statistically unpredictable that it made Tom a little uncomfortable. But it was also the home of Bill Nye, alleged manatee kidnapper. On most planets, Nye would be merely considered an engineer who'd gotten a TV show, but apparently on this strange world it meant he had been crowned science pope. On most civilized worlds, science was a process involving observable data and testable hypotheses, not a religion based on feeling superior toward anyone with differing political beliefs. So it was with a great deal of trepidation that Tom attempted to infiltrate the so-called March for Science to search for his target. It was an exceedingly smug, yet festive event. Tom did not understand the strange local custom, so when he found an oddly shaped pink knit hat, which had been recently discarded, he put it on in order to blend in better. Most of the other marchers were carrying colorful, grammatically incorrect signage having something to do with Cheetos or pithy sayings that always boiled down to how anyone who disagreed with them were stupid idiots who could be safely dismissed without thought, analysis, or debate. This didn't seem particularly scientific to Tom, but what did he know? He was only a man with 11 advanced degrees who flew around the galaxy in a spaceship. It wasn't like he knew science. There was no time to scan the entire crowd of self-righteous marchers, so Tom would need to gather human intel directly. Luckily, he'd been trained on how to build rapport with backwards, superstitious civilizations. He approached some marchers who were having a conversation.
I read on this movie star's blog that a good juice cleanse can remove vaccines that cause autism because I think I'm, like, totally allergic to gluten. Me too. I just need to align my chakras so my healing crystals will fight off GMOs better. I'm so glad we're smart and believe in science, unlike those nasty Republicans.
Tom smoothly tried to mingle. Greetings, fellow citizens of Earth 169-J-00561. I, too, love science. One of the science marchers glared at Tom suspiciously. Despite Tom's new pink hat, she must have suspected he was not really of their tribe.
I wish Medicare would cover goat milk therapy, don't you?
From his extensive knowledge of anthropology, Tom could tell this was some manner of test. He would have to tread carefully in order to be accepted as one of them. Obviously. They did not immediately attack, so Tom pushed onward. He needed to build a relationship of trust. She was carrying a sign that said, Republicans are to Flat Earth Society. I have been to the Flat Earth. It was mostly a tourist trap with a very underwhelming gift shop.
Triggered, she hissed and pointed. Republican, Nazi, fascist, sexist. Seize the climate denier, someone else shouted.
This was not going well at all. Before Tom could be seized by the mob and burned at the stake for heresy against their unquestionable science gods, he threw down a ninja smoke bomb and escaped in the confusion. After several more failed interactions, Tom found himself wishing that Jimmy was still employed with the firm, because at least he'd be able to communicate in the mangled gibberish of made-up buzzwords that this particular tribe spoke. Many of these humans were also sporting man buns. Tom began wondering if perhaps he had been too harsh on the lad. Then Tom caught a break. Through the meandering crowd, he spotted another bow-tie wearer. It was Bill Nye. Finally. And since Nye wasn't a client, Tom was free to deal with him however he wanted, up to and including merciless beatings. Tom was looking forward to getting this claim filed so he could return to a sensible reality. He began pushing his way through the marchers. Only that was when Tom realized he wasn't the only one heading directly toward the science guy. Like Tom, the pair of manatee bounty hunters were doing their best to blend in with the science marchers. They had both put on 8XL I'm With Her t-shirts over their power armor. One manatee was holding a sign that he'd found which boldly declared, Hands off my uterus! Only he was holding it upside down because he'd probably never bothered to learn English. The other had stretched one of the odd pink hats over the glass dome of his helmet. Their disguises were perfect. Though the anti-grav propulsion units in the suits made it so that their tails were hovering inches off the ground, none of the marchers seemed to notice. Manatees were sleek infiltrators that way. One bounty hunter stuck a flipper beneath his Hillary shirt, probably stolen for this mission, since manatees were such big supporters of free market economics, they'd never vote Democrat, and pulled out a combat wombat. That was a bad sign.
There was no less lethal setting on a combat wombat. In fact, they were advertised as more than lethal, because sometimes they even killed ghosts. Korea Tech was so philosophically opposed to less-than-lethal weapons that they once made a version that shot beanbag rounds, only the beanbags were made of depleted uranium. So these manatees really weren't messing around. Tom was in a bit of a quandary. Even though the bounty hunters were from a different dimension, Nye wasn't one of his clients, so technically this wasn't his problem. However, if they obliterated Nye before Tom confirmed he was the kidnapper, then he'd never know where to send the claim paperwork. So he pushed onward.
Excuse me, pardon me.
Before Tom could reach the science guy, he received a priority call from Muffy. I am really rather busy right now, Ms. Wappler.
I figured, Mr. Stranger, but it'll only take a second. Remember how those initial DNA tests from the seawater spilled at the scene came back as aquatic mammal? Well, it wasn't Wendell's tank water, after all. I'll send you over the detailed results right now.
Very well. Tom viewed the report over his infolink as he continued to shove hippies out of the way. He was very good at multitasking. He gasped when he got the DNA match. This wasn't just terrible news. It was the worst outcome possible. The repercussions would be awful. He'd never hear the end of it. Also, it meant he had been set up. The kidnapper isn't Bill Nye after all.
That guy who made my sex junk?
Yes, and he's about to be destroyed by manatees for a crime he didn't commit.
Ugh, let them. That song was so bad it's like sound barfed in my ears.
Indeed.
Photons that touched the My Sex Junk video touched my eyes, Mr. Stranger. My eyes! I had to pay to grow new eyeballs in a vat and get a transplant. It was so bad.
The manatee was dramatically screwing a silencer onto the muzzle of his combat wombat. Please forgive me for interrupting your tirade, Ms. Wappler, but I will have to call you back. Bill Nye was giving a long-winded speech to his adoring worshippers.
So then Neil deGrasse Tyson said nobody could make science more boring and pedantic than he could, so I said, challenge accepted, ha ha ha!
He noticed Tom.
Oh, hello, my child. Have you come to hear about how our lord and master science has declared nuclear power is scary bad?
Everyone on this planet is insane, but no. In fact, Tom had 3 nuclear reactors on his body at that moment, and he used one to activate his personal energy shield because the manatees were closing fast. Get behind me, science man!
Witchcraft!
Bill Nye shrieked when he saw Tom's flickering energy shield materialize. The manatee fired his combat wombat. The hypervelocity round exploded against the shield. Tom immediately responded by spin-kicking the pistol from the manatee's flipper. Though incredibly fearsome, their lack of opposable thumbs could be a real detriment in close combat. The bounty hunters seemed surprised to see an interdimensional insurance agent here and hesitated before launching their rampage. Tom took advantage of their momentary confusion.
Stand down, noble manatees. Though sanctimonious and annoying, this human is not your enemy.
The bounty hunters exchanged a glance. They did not give up so easily, but they knew Tom Stranger had a reputation for integrity.
Fleep!
Correct.
Bill Nye has, as you put it, jumped the shark, but we have been lied to. In the colloquial terms your people are so fond of, he is a red herring. The red herring is endangered because of fracking, Bill Nye suddenly declared. Impeach Trump, or the red herring will go extinct. Science has spoken. Science has spoken,
chanted all the marchers, even though that hypothesis had not been tested and no data had been collected or analyzed.
We are more smarter. May clean energy be upon you, my children.
I stand in awe of how absurd this planet is, Tom turned back to the bounty hunters, because at least they were rational. Please, spare these pathetic land mammals. I will go settle this claim and retrieve your leader.
Ooh,
said the other manatee. What do you mean you two are just tying up loose ends because your herd has already dispatched an armada to wage unrelenting total war across the multiverse? He spread his flippers apologetically like, whoops, shit happens. Then, since his mission was already compromised, the manatee took his ridiculous pink hat off in order to retain what little dignity he had left.
Oh, no! Bill Nye cried once their clever disguise was revealed. Behold, as was prophesied in my scholarly Netflix show, these peaceful sea creatures have been driven from their habitat by global warming. Hurry, my children! Roll them back into the water! They're dying!
The marchers immediately mobbed the manatees. The bounty hunter began beating people with his uterus sign. It turned into a giant wrestling match between the cultists and the manatees, who didn't really want to get rolled anywhere. Tom figured they could work it out without him, so he began running to his mech. He had to get back to Wendell's home before the manatee armada indiscriminately pulverized every Florida in existence. Chapter 5. Tom's 12 noon reminder to have Muffy schedule some training on nonviolent conflict resolution, Miami, Florida, Earth, number 984-A-3256. They had assembled a crack team of insurance professionals in the abandoned warehouse across the street from the building where they believed the kidnappers were holding Wendell. When Tom arrived, Muffy was already briefing the junior associates.
Okay, kiddos, time is of the essence. The Manatee Armada is on its way to blow up this Florida as we speak. However, we can't just barge in willy-nilly and start wrecking the place.
One of the junior associates raised his hand. How come?
Because this has potential public relations nightmare written all over it, duh. You all saw Mr. Strange's press conference this morning. This is super sensitive. The last thing this company needs is more controversy. One screw up and this is going to be all over social media. The details are in your handouts and, oh, hey, the boss is here. It's all yours, Mr. Stranger.
Thank you, Ms. Wappler. Tom took his place in front of his team. They were the elite, the best of the best, the finest junior associates in the multiverse, perched like falcons, ready to swoop in and deliver the finest quality customer service possible. They all came from harsh, tough worlds. Before getting into the far more challenging field of interdimensional insurance, each of them had developed a respectable resume. Rip Facepunch had been an elite hostage rescue team leader, brain surgeon, and children's book illustrator. Dirk Hardsack had been a matador, Shaolin monk, an inventor of the fidget spinner. And last but not least, there was a professional polar bear wrangler, Iditarod champion, and cosmonaut, Beardley McSpetsnaz. Gentle agents, we will strike in exactly 5 minutes and 47 seconds. I have downloaded detailed maps of the target directly to your infolinks. Using my years of experience, I have formulated an exacting plan, accounting for every possible danger which you will memorize and then execute to the second. This will be a surgical strike. Tom pointed at each junior associate as he gave their assignments. Facepunch, you're on overwatch. McSpetsnaz, crowd control, and remember, when you hand out business cards, to let them know about our free rate quote. Wappler, heavy weapons. Muffy pumped her fist in the air.
Yes!
And Hardsack, claims paperwork.
Ah,
but I brought my nunchucks. Do not forget the photo documentation this time. This claim could go to arbitration, and Chuck Norris has no patience for sloppy paperwork. Now, as Ms. Wappler has already so aptly explained, discretion is everything. The reputation of our company and also the future of this Florida are at stake. Due to the sensitive nature of the individuals involved, this could go very badly for us. We must keep this quiet, so I reiterate. Discretion is of the utmost importance. Sir, there might be a problem. Facepunch interrupted the briefing, but he was at the window on lookout duty, so it had to be important. I don't think Jimmy the intern got the memo. I fired Jimmy this morning. Of course, I did not CC him on the email. Facepunch peered through the scope of his sniper wombat to confirm. Well, Jimmy's blundering down the middle of the street directly toward the target building at the head of what appears to be an angry mob. Well, there went that plan. Jimmy was having a great time.
Man, this is awesome!
The bartender looked over their small army as they flipped over cars and broke windows and nodded approvingly.
You were right, Jimmy. Taking the time to stop by Home Depot for torches and pitchforks first really set the ambiance.
Mr. Stranger was always talking about the value of being proactive. He was going to be so impressed that Jimmy was sure to get his old job back. Sure, there might have been some inadvertent property damage to the city on their way over, but it was a small price to pay for customer service or whatever.
This is the place, the bartender declared.
It was a rough neighborhood down by the docks. There was lots of trash, stray dogs, and graffiti everywhere. The cars had already been flipped over, so Jimmy's mob flipped them back right side up.
Where?
The bartender pointed,
that one.
The building was extra sketchy, cinder blocks, bars over the windows, razor wire over the bars, and featuring gaudy neon signs which declared the establishment was named Bottlenose Jack's. The mob paused because it was a little intimidating. This place had a rep.
You sure about this, Jimmy? These guys are the baddest gang in town. There's no shame in backing down now.
No way, man. Insurance is counting on me.
Jimmy boldly walked right up to the entrance. A 500-pound cyborg gorilla was working the door.
Hit the bricks, human.
Hey, aren't you the same gorilla from that other bar?
Do I know you?
Dude, we talked like a couple hours ago.
The gorilla shrugged.
You puny homo sapiens all look the same to me. But sure, the way the economy is now, I need two jobs just to put peanut butter and grubs on the table. Not all of us gorillas can get fancy insurance jobs like Amy. Some of us gotta work for a living.
Yeah, tough story, bro.
The bartender joined them.
What's taking so long? Oh, hey, Harambe.
Sup, Danny.
Second job, huh? Me too. I teach interpretive dance at the community college.
Fascinating as this was, Jimmy really didn't have time for dicking around. That checkout line at Home Depot had taken forever.
Anyways, same deal. I gotta go in and rough up these guys for information, so step aside.
No can do, buddy.
The gorilla jerked one massive thumb toward another sign. This one read, Dolphins Only.
No bipeds allowed. Trust me, you don't want to go in there anyway. It's all porpoise strippers eating fish. Real snooty.
Wait, this is a dolphin bar? Like, literally dolphins? Like, those humorless, easily offended reviewers who were all angry at Mr. Stranger?
Dude, Jimmy, I told you on the riot over this was a dolphin bar.
Yeah, but I thought you meant, like, Miami Dolphins, like the NFL team.
The gorilla snorted.
There's a football team called the Dolphins? How lame is your universe?
I'm a Miami Manatees fan,
the bartender proclaimed.
I even got season tickets.
So jealous,
said the gorilla. Jimmy started freaking out. He'd read all those one-star reviews. Dolphins seemed hypersensitive and perpetually offended. After the controversy around that audiobook, Muffy had sent out a memo warning everybody to be super careful not to offend any more dolphins. If he went in there and started kicking porpoise butt, Mr. Stranger would get even more bad reviews. Jimmy would never get his job back. He'd be, like, extra fired.
Oh, crap. Oh, crap. What have I done? We gotta go.
Only while Jimmy had been distracted talking to the bouncer, his mob had grown restless, stolen a city bus, and were in the process of driving it toward the front door really fast.
Stop! Stop!
Jimmy jumped up and down, waving his arms.
No!
Only the driver couldn't hear him over the roar of the engine.
This is for you, Jimmy the intern, to Valhalla, shiny and chrome!
Luckily, the gorilla had reflexes befitting a mighty silverback, and he scooped up Jimmy and the bartender and leapt out of the way right before impact. The cinder block wall exploded into fragments, and the bus flipped end over end through the dolphin bar. The mob ran through the smoking breach, eager to put boot to blowhole. The gorilla bouncer lifted his head as debris rained down around them.
Oh, come on!
Trust me, dude. The version of you on my home planet got it way worse,
Jimmy said. The gorilla groaned.
I am so gonna get fired for this.
You and me both.
Though technically he was already fired. Causing an interdimensional incident was like the cherry on top of today's poop sundae. However, Wendell was still missing, so Jimmy still had a job to do. Did rogue TV detectives ever give up because they accidentally caused a post-apocalyptic maniac to steal a bus and crash it through a bar full of dolphins? Not that he knew of. To hell with the consequences!
Cover me! I'm going in!
Jimmy sprang to his feet and ran for the hole.
Cover you from what?
The bartender shouted back.
I don't know! That's just what they always yell in the movies!
Since these were animals who lived in the ocean, Jimmy had kind of expected the place to be filled with water. Instead, the interior of the bar was all strobe lights and techno music, conveniently perfect for a fight scene. It turned out that when dolphins wanted to party on land, all they needed to do was turn up a humidifier, and it was all good. Jimmy's army was slugging it out with a whole bunch of rowdy dolphins. It had already turned into a giant rumble. Dudes were getting tossed into mirrors, lots of kung fu, that sort of thing. Dolphins might be a bunch of easily offended prima donnas on the internet, but it turned out in real life, they could throw down. He narrowly dodged a flipper. Then a tail swept his legs out from under him. Jimmy got up, only to have another dolphin shatter a chair over his head.
That was a dick move!
But the dolphin was fresh out of pity, and it grabbed Jimmy by the shirt collar, picked him up, and slid him down the bar. Jimmy crashed, face first, through a bunch of bottles and fish sticks before flying off the end and onto the floor.
I'm not leaving until somebody tells me where Wendell is!
Jimmy struggled to his feet, only to get nailed in the head by another chair.
Oof! What is up with all these freaking chairs? You dudes can't even sit!
The dolphin held up one flipper and dramatically twirled open a butterfly knife.
Whoa, easy there. You don't want to do something you'll regret.
The dolphin looked over incredulously at the upside-down bus in the middle of their dance floor, then back to Jimmy, as if to say, are you shitting me, human? Then it lunged for him. Jimmy scurried back and then grabbed a butter knife off the bar. He held it out defensively.
I'm warning you, I played a whole lot of Fruit Ninja.
Only before the dolphin could gut Jimmy like, well, a fish, a bunch of flashbangs went off, disorienting the combatants. A hole was blown through the ceiling, and a shadowy figure dropped through, landing smoothly next to the knife-wielding dolphin. You've made quite a mess of things, Jimmy.
Mr. Stranger, what are you doing here?
I was about to ask you the same thing. Tom Stranger said as he used a sweet judo throw to toss the dolphin on its snout. But there's no time for chit-chat. A big crew of dolphins was heading their way. Jimmy's army had gotten trounced fairly quickly and were in full retreat. Tom Stranger took up a fighting stance.
Kick their ass, Mr. Stranger.
There's no need for violence, my dolphin friends. I merely seek information pertaining to the whereabouts of my client. Let us resolve this peacefully. Then I will force these hooligans to leave your establishment, and I will arrange for this young man to pay for all the damages and any emotional distress he has caused.
Wait, what?
Silence, Jimmy. Grown-ups are talking. Now, please, let us be reasonable. The biggest dolphin ever swaggered up. He was wearing a bunch of gold chains and had prison tats from SeaWorld. That is a terribly cruel thing to say about my mother. The dolphins charged. Having been left with no choice, Tom Stranger responded. It was flipper against fist. Only interdimensional insurance agents fight like watching a Jet Li movie on fast forward, so the dolphins never had a chance. He clotheslined one, body slammed another, and when they inevitably threw a chair at him, Mr. Stranger caught it and flung it right back, knocking that jerky dolphin right out the front window and into the street. There was a ka-chunk noise as the dolphin behind the bar racked a shotgun. Only before it could fire, Muffy appeared and stuck a giant plasma cannon against its nose.
Drop it, you cetacean son of a bitch, before I blast you into chum.
Miss Wappler, please, remember, we're trying not to be so culturally insensitive.
Sorry, Mr. Stranger.
Inappropriate or not, the dolphin put the shotgun down. The techno music had stopped. The floor was covered in moaning, semi-conscious dolphins and humans. The knockdown, drag-out fight was over.
I swept the place, Mr. Stranger. They've got a money laundering operation and a meth lab in the basement, but no sign of Wendell anywhere.
Drat! He looked over at Jimmy, who was busy picking splinters out of his hair. I know your world is remarkably odd, but are you unfamiliar with the concept of how employment works?
I know I got fired, but I was going to prove those evaluations wrong and take care of this claim.
Strange. As statistically improbable as it sounds, even deprived of the firm's resources, you still somehow figured out that this pod of criminal dolphins hired out some of their cartel assassins to a secret cabal of shady businessmen to thwart a hostile takeover in the same amount of time it took me to come to the same conclusion.
Yeah, that's like totally what I was thinking happened.
Mr. Stranger seemed confused. He looked at Muffy, who was blowing a bubble. She shrugged.
So, do I get my job back?
We will revisit the accuracy of our employee evaluations later. He went over to the big boss dolphin and picked him up by his dorsal fin. We know Wendell was taken by members of your pod. Now talk!
The prison-hardened dolphin made an extremely rude gesture, which was saying something since it was kind of limited, not having fingers and all. Jimmy realized they'd been joined by some of the junior associates. They were all taller than he was and super buffed. Plus, they were, like, smart and good at stuff. To be honest, they made Jimmy feel a little dumpy and inadequate. Face Punch went over to the Alpha Dolphin.
A tough guy, huh? Back on my planet, we had a way of making dolphins talk. I'll need a hairdryer and a chamois.
Niet, said McSpetsnaz. There's no time for reverse waterboarding. There is deep fryer and kitchen. We shall see how much dolphin can fit.
I respect your enthusiasm, junior associates, but inserting sentient beings into deep fat fryers is against company policy. Such barbarity is better suited for firms like Conundrum and Company or United Airlines. Tom Stranger sighed and released the dolphins. Besides, if we engage in atrocities, we will be plagued with negative dolphin reviews forever. Jimmy thought back to the profound bartender wisdom of that Danny Trejo guy.
We could just try asking him nicely.
Tom Stranger didn't seem convinced, but Jimmy was on a roll. Very well.
Cool, I got this. Okay, Mr. Dolphin Mob Boss Dude, I'm really sorry about the bus crash. With all due respect and stuff, we really need to get this manatee back, so could you, like, do us a solid and help us out?
The dolphin studied Jimmy with his beady, shifty little black eyes and slowly nodded in agreement.
See?
Jimmy turned around and grinned.
Told you guys!
Then the dolphin grabbed yet another chair and broke that one over Jimmy's head, too.
Enough of this foolishness and carrying on.
Tom Stranger put the evil dolphin in a headlock and squeezed. I tried being polite, but if I am to receive a one-star review in pursuit of my duties, so be it. Where is the manatee? From Jimmy's new position on the floor, he had a good view out the big hole in the wall. At first he thought he was hallucinating from all the traumatic brain injuries, but the big thing outside seemed pretty real. It looked like a gigantic spaceship was rising out of the ocean.
Mr. Stranger?
Where, curse you, where?
Mr. Stranger shouted as the dolphin's face turned from gray to purple. Jimmy reached over and started tugging on his pant leg.
What?
Jimmy pointed at the big warship that was rising into the sky until it blotted out the sun. It was like a sleek manatee version of the space battleship Yamato. It began blaring a warning through loudspeakers as it hovered over the beach. Tom Stranger dropped the obstinate dolphin. For those of you who do not speak the language, the manatees have dispatched ships like this to 100 worlds as part of a punitive expedition. They just declared the land mammals have 1 hour to return Wendell, which, all things considered, is a remarkably merciful time frame, where the perpetrators will taste their righteous vengeance.
That doesn't sound too bad,
Jimmy said hopefully.
For everybody other than the perps, obviously.
Except historically manatees aren't very good at target identification, said Face Punch. Back on my home world, off the coast of Innsmouth, a manatee strike team mistook King Triton for a dragon. It was the worst friendly fire incident of the Deep War.
Oh, man, not Ariel's, Dad!
The claims paperwork still haunts my nightmares. Dead flounders and talking crabs everywhere. Sorry, Jimmy. Where I'm from, The Little Mermaid is considered a very tragic movie. We've got to do something, Mr. Stranger.
You are correct, Junior Associate. He began dragging the evil dolphin over toward the hole. I'll start by turning this miscreant over to the manatees. The dolphin thrashed in terror.
Begging for mercy will do you no good. Manatees laugh at the Geneva Convention. Now do you want to talk?
See, that wasn't so hard. Thank you for your cooperation. He karate chopped the dolphin and knocked it unconscious.
Whoa, what just happened?
Now I know where the kidnappers are. Sadly, I was just in that reality. Come on, Junior Associates. We need to get back to Jimmy's home dimension.
Scowling, he looked at the battleship looming overhead.
And we must hurry.
Yeah, man, it's like high noon out there.
Worse, it's nigh-hoon.
Chapter 6 Tom networks on the golf course somewhere over Florida. Earth 169-J-00561. The Stranger and Stranger battlemech blasted through the dimensional rift and tore across the sky at Mach 3. Tom, Muffy, Jimmy, and the three junior associates were all crowded into the cockpit, making Tom glad that he had purchased a battlemech with a roomy interior. After the Dolphin crime lord had admitted that it was his crew who had been hired to kidnap Wendell, Tom had quickly figured out the entire complicated plot. Someone was trying to stop the Koreatech merger by pitting two of Tom's clients against each other. The damages would be astronomical, the paperwork never-ending. Muffy was looking at a spreadsheet.
Mr. Stranger, if this incident causes an interdimensional war, we insure both sides. Whoever is found at fault, the payout would ruin our third quarter numbers.
And millions of innocents would die.
Oh, yeah, that too. Total bummer.
I shudder to think of all the customer dissatisfaction that could cause. Tom pounded one fist against the control panel. Not on my watch. Prepare yourselves, junior associates. We will be over the drop zone shortly. Somewhere inside that compound, the Dolphins have hidden Wendell. The humans there are unaware that they are being set up, but they will attempt to defend themselves, as will the Manatee Raiders. We will split into two teams to cover more ground. You must find Wendell, secure him, and avoid harming any of our clients, human or Manatee. Stun weapons only.
What about Dolphins? Asked McSpetsnaz.
Well, for them, you may set your wombats to mulch. There's our destination, the Mar-a-Lago Resort and Presidential Golf Retreat.
All signals are being jammed, Hardsack shouted. I can't make contact with the clients.
There was a huge manatee battleship floating ahead of them. It began firing its particle beam cannons.
Taking evasive maneuvers.
Tom's super-quick reflexes saved the day as he pulled the stick and rolled the mech between the death rays. Of course, Jimmy had unbuckled his seatbelt in order to get a drumstick from the Kentucky Fried Velociraptor to-go bucket and wound up smashed against the ceiling by centrifugal force. One of the manatees' railguns got lucky and blew a hole through their shields and shattered the window. Muffy reached out with her robot hand and snagged Jimmy by the sleeve right before he would have gotten sucked out the hole.
Seatbelts are a company policy for a reason, Jimmy. Why do I even write all these safety briefings if you dipsticks never bother to read them?
Jimmy screamed incoherently in response. Well, I for one appreciate your timely emails, Miss Wappler. Tom grimaced as one of the mech's arms was torn off. Manatees were incredibly lethal marksmen, and despite Tom's Top Gun-like piloting skills, the mech took several more hits.
We are going down. Now remember, team, this America is a new client. Prior to my saving their previous vice president from ball sharks, they were insured with Conundrum and Company. Let's show them what proper customer service looks like.
As the flaming mech hurtled toward the ground, the junior associates began bailing out. Since each of them was rated fairly high on the grill's survivability scale, they didn't even bother with parachutes. An impact at this velocity was only sufficient to kill four or five Bear Grylls tops. Unfortunately, not all of the team were up for such strenuous activity. By the way, Miss Wappler, would you kindly stick a jetpack on Jimmy or something? I would hate for him to explode on impact.
So does this mean that Jimmy is rehired, sir?
Tom glanced over at the screaming intern as he flailed back and forth in the thousand-mile-an-hour firewind over the hull breach, through which could be seen the ground rushing up to violently meet them. Well, it was rather sloppy, but he did provide some quality customer service to our client today. I think that perhaps Jimmy, coming from such an outlandish and silly universe, may actually turn out to be a benefit.
At times, it's as if his very presence alters the laws of probability.
Let's give him another chance. You are most welcome, Jimmy.
Aw, that was really nice of you.
Muffy shoved an anti-gravity belt into Jimmy's arms and then let him careen wildly into the atmosphere.
Let's face it, Mr. Stranger, you're really a big softy.
Then Muffy unbuckled, tucked her arms to her sides, and smoothly flew through the hole. Needing to draw the manatee's fire, Tom stayed in his crippled mech, wrestling with the controls as missiles exploded all around. He activated his personal energy shield as the cabin was engulfed in flames. He'd already gotten feathers all over this suit today. Getting charred to a crisp would make him look completely unprofessional. The mech was headed right for the golf course. Trying to minimize casualties and maximize customer satisfaction, Tom aimed for a water feature on the fourth hole. Except the manatee photon cannon blasted his stabilizers into shrapnel and the controls seized up. The mech went into an out-of-control spin and slammed into the green at several times terminal velocity, erupting in a huge fireball. Miles above, the manatee gunners high flippered, which is sort of like high five, but you get the idea. They hadn't even known what they were shooting at, but manatees simply love to blow shit up. Jimmy the intern somehow managed not to die. Luckily for him, he had gotten the anti-gravity thing he figured out right before he would have been turned into sidewalk pizza. According to the help menu, the device created a repellent force field. Not that Jimmy understood what those words meant. Unfortunately, he had cranked it up a little too high and ended up bouncing on impact like he was riding a giant hamster ball through a bunch of trees, a flock of very startled ducks, and directly into a big glass window, which shattered. And then the stupid belt shorted out as he skidded through a luncheon on his face.
Whoa,
he groaned as he sat up. If it wasn't for all the bruises and the sick carpet burn on his forehead, that landing would have been diehard level cool. But then Jimmy realized he was being stared at by a whole bunch of old guys in tuxedos and rich ladies with furs and little dogs in their purses. This place was really fancy. They had, like, monocles and stuff. He looked up and saw that he had crashed through a big banner that read, "Welcome, World Leaders." They were staring at him in shocked silence. Jimmy waved.
"Hey, everybody, don't mind me."
"Where did you come from, young man?"
"He fell out of the sky."
"Well, we started in outer space, yeah, but no biggie. I'm just your friendly neighborhood insurance guy."
"Ugh, it's like the commercials," cried Chancellor Angela Merkel. "If you say the incantation, insurance agents will suddenly materialize."
"Unlike the good neighbors, State Farm is there,"
sang the president of China. He looked around expectantly, but then got disappointed when nobody else appeared out of thin air.
"Oh, wrong company, dudes. I'm not like Beetlejuice or something."
Jimmy got up and brushed the broken glass off his clothes. He was feeling pretty awesome. Nothing builds confidence like a near-death experience and getting your job back. Super smooth, he whipped out a business card.
"Stranger and Stranger, for all your interdimensional insurance needs. Call us for a free rate quote."
"This is all so very exciting,"
declared the kid from High School Musical, or maybe it was the Prime Minister of Canada. Jimmy always got those two mixed up.
"These summits have been such a drag since my real dad, Fidel Castro died. He was the life of the party."
"But, yeah, anyways, we're all going to get blown up by that big floating battleship outside, unless any of you guys have seen a manatee around here."
The world leaders all simultaneously pointed toward the buffet. Jimmy followed all their fingers, and there, in the middle of the table, past the organic gold-leaf truffles, was Wendell T. Manatee, frozen just like Han Solo in carbonite, serving as the decorative centerpiece.
"Oh, frickin' sweet!"
He'd done it.
"Boom! Evaluate this performance, Muffy! All right, anybody here know how to safely thaw a manatee?"
But nobody did. Because they were politicians, which meant they were basically useless.
"Some suspicious caterers left that there. We all just assumed the frozen sea cow was an artistic statement about the catastrophic dangers of man-made climate change."
"Okay. I gotta ask, is that, like, actually a real thing, or just something you guys made up to mess with people?"
The world leaders all had a good laugh. There were a few golfers near the impact zone. The mech had plowed a giant crater in the green. Munitions were cooking off, creating a chain of secondary explosions. Fire leapt hundreds of feet into the sky.
"You all saw that. That thing fell right on my ball."
"Yes, Mr. Defense Secretary Mad Dog, sir," said the Secret Service agent serving as a caddy. "You get a mulligan."
"Damn right I do,"
the SecDef muttered as fiery debris rained down around him. The President of the United States was sitting in a golf cart, tweeting,
"Giant robots falling out of sky. Sad. Probably made in China. Buy American."
Tom Stranger walked out of the pillar of fire carrying his doomsday briefcase and dusting off his suit.
"Pardon my interruption, gentle clients, but there are shenanigans afoot."
The SecDef gave him a polite nod.
"Tom?"
Tom returned the nod.
"Chaos."
"Freeze, scumbag," shouted the Secret Service agent as he pulled his pistol and aimed it at Tom.
"Damn, you kids are high-strung. Relax, Carl. This is just our interdimensional insurance agent."
SecDef pointed his golf club at Tom's chest.
"I'm assuming this has something to do with that big gray spaceship up there ruining my view?"
"Correct. Did you not receive the manatee's list of demands?"
"That's what that was?"
the Secretary of Defense shrugged.
"Nobody speaks manatee on this planet."
Carl, the Secret Service agent, was putting away his gun. We ran Flu through Google Translate for a threat assessment. It came back saying it was about how they wanted to ravish our porcupines. Sadly, you typed it incorrectly. The message was Flu, with six O's. It's a very nuanced language.
So majestic, agreed the SecDef.
The president had not looked up from his phone and was still busy tweeting.
Sea cows come here, should learn to speak English bigly good like we do. Bad.
Their message actually said you must turn over their leader or they would declare war. The Secret Service agent didn't seem impressed. They're just gassy herbivores. Who cares? But SecDef just shook his head.
You know how manatees get all those scars, Carl?
Sure, just by floating along until they get whacked by speedboats.
That's what they want you to think. The scarred-up ones are really veterans of the deep war. You ever been menaced by fishmen, Carl?
No.
Then thank a manatee and read a frickin' history book once in a while.
SecDef turned back to Tom.
I didn't realize that was a manatee vessel. I thought it was just more of those damned obnoxious space vegans. But all right, I could use a good fight. Golf is dumb.
He chucked his 9-iron into the fire.
Waste of a good rifle range. I just snuck out here with the boss because we were sick of listening to those namby-pamby Euro-weenies. How do we best proceed, Tom?
They gave you a 1-hour ultimatum. A laser beam lanced out of the sky and blasted a nearby tree into splinters. And it would appear that was about an hour ago.
Run!
Explosions rocked the golf course as the manatees began their bombardment. The three of them piled into the golf court next to the president, who was still tweeting,
"They say manatees don't ruin golf. Fake news. Build a wall."
The golf cart took off with a fierce electric hum. Tom looked up to see the swarm of fighters had launched from the battleship and were headed their way.
"We have incoming."
"Put the hammer down, Carl," SecDef ordered. "Going as fast as I can, sir," he cried as they bounced wildly across the green. The targeting implant in Tom's eyes zeroed in on the fighter's weak spots. He drew his combat wombat.
"Aim for the intakes." "Roger that."
Surprisingly, SecDef had hidden a Stinger missile in his golf bag.
"What? I told you I hate this sport. I only ever use one club for everything. Might as well put something useful in this stupid bag."
"Personally, I find golf to be rather relaxing," Tom said as he began to rapidly blast the oncoming fighters out of the sky, forcing the pilots to eject. Even floating toward the ground, suspended beneath parachutes, the manatees still managed to appear relaxed about the whole thing. As Jimmy would say, they were
pretty chill.
There were explosions all around them. Tom threw down smoke bombs and nanite swarms for cover. Carl managed to get some serious air by jumping the golf cart over a sand trap. Fighters flashed by, billowing smoke. Chaos downed another fighter with a shrieking surface-to-air missile as tracers zipped back and forth. The president continued tweeting furiously. Tom activated his communications uplink.
"Come in, junior associates. Does anyone have eyes on Wendell?"
"I found him, Mr. Stranger."
"Jimmy?"
That was certainly improbable, but the intern had a gift. Like an idiot savant of insurance.
"Well done. We're on the way. Everyone converge on Jimmy's position."
"I'm just getting him thawed out and hey, what's that? Oh, crap!"
Then there was a thud noise over the line, and Jimmy was suddenly silenced.
"Jimmy! Come in, Jimmy!"
But Tom received a bone-chilling answer instead. The line went dead.
"To the clubhouse! And hurry! Agent Carl! Dolphin assassins have assaulted my intern!"
I am so confused right now.
"Serpentine! Serpentine!"
bellowed Chaos. The golf cart zipped wildly across the blasted golf course, narrowly dodging explosions, until they smashed through the convention center's fence and up the stairs. The wild jostling caused the president to make a typo.
"Despite the constant negative press, Cuffavavy."
But it was too late. He'd already hit submit. POTUS narrowed his eyes dangerously and scowled at Carl. The poor Secret Service agent gulped in fear.
"Don't worry, this should all be covered. I'll be back with the claim paperwork shortly."
Tom Stranger bailed out of the golf cart and ran into Mar-a-Lago. Inside, the resort was pandemonium. Desperate now that their plot had been exposed, the remaining dolphins had attacked to keep Jimmy from thawing Wendell. Most of the world leaders had run away or were hiding under tables, except for Bibi Netanyahu, who had gleefully Krav Maga'd one dolphin unconscious. Unfortunately, Jimmy had been taken hostage by one of the others. It was hiding behind him, one flipper around Jimmy's neck, while the other flipper held a gun to Jimmy's head.
"Sorry, Mr. Stranger, I tried my best, but the stupid fish got the drop on me."
Jimmy's use of species slurs were the least of their problems at this point. Remain calm, Jimmy.
Don't worry. Do what you gotta do. I've moved way up on the grill's survivability scale since I started. I could probably survive getting shot in the brain. The GSS says I'm as tough as a ficus now.
That comparison would imply you are still vulnerable to things like low humidity, drafts, and overwatering.
So not even a teensy bit bulletproof?
Tom shook his head in the negative. Not even a little bit.
Well, crap.
Jimmy suddenly looked a lot less confident.
Never mind, then.
Two more dolphins uncloaked next to the buffet table and leveled their weapons at Tom. He would be able to take them easily, but not in time to save Jimmy. The lead dolphin was gibbering threats about how if Tom didn't surrender, it would blow Jimmy's head off. Tom slowly placed his combat wombat and doomsday briefcase on the carpet and then raised his hands to show he was now unarmed.
You might as well surrender. I figured out your scheme. The only thing I do not know is who hired you mercenary scum to start this war.
The dolphin activated its infolink and a hologram appeared between them. It was the head of a wild-haired, grinning fat man, sort of like a low-rent Guy Fieri, only with blue hair. Tom groaned when he saw his rival interdimensional insurance agent, nemesis and all-around jerk-faced Jeff Conundrum appear. Ugh, not you again.
Hey, you Stranger Things.
You can't be behind this. I left you trapped in hell.
Yeah, and that place really sucked. Thanks a lot for ditching me there, by the way. It was all nightmares, suffering, grumpy torture demons. It's really humid, so everybody a swamp butt. Only hell couldn't hold me, Tommy boy. I escaped. While I was there, in between fiery pitchfork pokings, I came up with this nefarious master plan. Pretty cool, huh?
Why would you do all this, Jeff?
Easy. Conundrum and Company insures a bunch of those evil companies. If the merger went through, they'd fall under your premium platinum plan, and I'd lose all that business. Wendell, the financial wizard, just had to go, so I hired these fanatical dolphin separatists to do my dirty work, knowing you'd be too PC to risk hurting their feelings after your last snafu. And then I started dropping clues that the bums on this loser planet were the guilty party. That's what they get for dumping my coverage and switching to you.
But why go through all that effort to rile up the manatees and frame this universe for the crime?
That's the best part, Strange Brew. Revenge. No matter how it turned out, one of your clients was going to be dissatisfied. You'd won number one in customer satisfaction for 3 years running. I was going to break your winning streak.
Jeff laughed maniacally. You would cause an interdimensional war just to keep me from being voted number one in customer service for a fourth year in a row? Tom whistled. Jeff Conundrum hadn't been quite right in the head for a long time, but apparently a stay in hell hadn't improved him any. That's evil even by your standards, Jeff.
Yeah, psycho, Jimmy chimed in. That's all sorts of messed up.
But then the dolphin thumped Jimmy over the head with the pistol, so he quit talking.
Well, I for one thought it sounded like a perfectly clever plan,
squeaked one of the world leaders from beneath the table.
Shut up, Trudeau! Nobody ever cares what Canada thinks about anything,
Jeff roared.
Any second now, Tom, manatee commandos will kick in the door, and when they see their hero looking like a big freeze pop next to the hors d'oeuvres, they'll be so mad they'll bust a cap in this whole planet. I'll keep my business. You will not win number one in customer satisfaction, and you'll be dead, so I win. I win this time, Tom.
But Tom's keenly honed insurance agent instincts had noticed something the dolphins had not. Before they had appeared, Jimmy had been chipping away at Wendell's block of ice, and a crack had formed. The crack had continued spreading while Jeff had been monologuing. Villains never learn.
You'll never get away with this, Jeff.
What are you going to do, Tom? Make a move, and your intern gets it.
I, personally, do not need to do anything. Company policy says that a level 10 claim requires a team of agents in order to render maximum customer service. Facepunch, are you in position?
I'm only 5,000 meters away, sir,
the junior associate answered over the comlink.
Piece of cake.
What does cake have to do with anything?
Jeff Conundrum was confused, but he was only hearing half the conversation.
Who's getting punched with cake now, huh?
Sorry, Mr. Stranger. Jimmy's use of slang is contagious. I meant I am ready to dispense this claim with extreme prejudice.
Then let us earn those one-star dolphin reviews. Fire!
Boom!
A bullet hole appeared in the wall. The shot was so close that it cut off Jimmy's man bun before striking its intended target. The hostage-taking dolphin was sent hurtling across the buffet.
Oh, man!
Jimmy had been drenched in dolphin puree, right in the blowhole. The other dolphins reacted, but not quickly enough. Tom had known the sonic crack of the junior associate sniper wombat would further weaken the block of ice. It shattered, and Wendell T. Manatee fell out. The dolphins looked up in terror, and they were engulfed in shadow. But it was too late.
Hoon!
And they were crushed beneath Wendell's sleek blubber. The smoke was clearing. The dolphin terrorists were down.
Are you unharmed? Wendell, Jimmy.
Wendell, always calm under pressure, nodded at Tom in the affirmative, but he was already busy contacting his people on the comlink to call off their armada.
Kinda.
Jimmy held up the sad ball of hair that had once been his glorious hipster topknot.
I'm okay, too.
No one asked you, Justin Trudeau.
Tom's homeworld hadn't even had a Canada. They just had North Idaho and French Idaho. He turned his attention back to the hologram of Jeff, who was looking rather flustered at the sudden carnage.
Okay. I'll admit I wasn't expecting you to mulch my dolphins that hardcore.
That is the difference between us, Jeff. I understand that being a good insurance agent isn't about the customer satisfaction surveys or the awards. It's about doing what you know in your hearts is the best thing for your clients. He turned toward Jimmy and gave him a nod of approval. And sometimes superior customer service requires following your instincts, no matter how stunningly bad those instincts may seem.
Thanks, I think,
said Jimmy.
That's touching, Walker, Texas Stranger.
That one doesn't even make sense, Jeff.
Well, I'm running out of things with strange in the title, so sue me. You may have foiled my plans this time, Tom and Jimmy, but I'll be back. You've not seen the last of Jeff Conundrum.
Not this time. The multiverse has had enough of your bad attitude and lackluster customer service.
Tom reached down and picked up his doomsday briefcase.
You have gone too far and must be stopped for good.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it, smart guy, huh? You're talking to a hologram of my big, awesome head. I'm safely like a billion miles and 10 realities away in an armor bunker riding a comet made of kryptonite.
Tom opened his briefcase. An eerie green glow and a banshee wail gushed out.
Ooh, scary,
Jeff mocked.
Is this going to be like that part in Indiana Jones where ghosts come out and melt our faces off? Jimmy asked nervously.
Possible, but unlikely. I had the Ark of the Covenant stacked way in the back. Tom reached inside the briefcase and rummaged around for a bit. He stuck his arm in all the way up to his shoulder, revealing that the briefcase was far bigger on the inside than on the outside. It was also very cluttered with various powerful technologies and artifacts, so it took him a moment to find what he was looking for. Tom, luckily, didn't have to use this thing very often. Here we go. He pulled out a tiny, struggling man, dressed all in green, with a four-leaf clover in his hat.
Is that a freaking leprechaun?
Jimmy asked.
Oh, no,
squeaked the hologram of Jeff Conundrum, suddenly afraid.
Which feckin' gobscheister summoned me? Oh, hey, you, Tom. You got your two wishes left, then I'm free. Back to my serial empire.
I am aware, Fergus.
Leprechauns were a cross-dimensional menace and all-around pain in the butt, but sometimes agents had to make sacrifices.
Who do you want me to implode now? I still feel a wee bit badly about what I did to your carpet at your HR department from last time.
Wendell covered his eyes with his flippers. No implosions. I merely wish for you to bring Jeff Conundrum here.
I know that conundrum, the sap. I called his helpline once. Spent 2 hours getting the runaround from a CNCA. Dog goes woof me arse. This wish is on the house.
Whoa, Tom, buddy. Let's talk this out like reasonable insurance.
The leprechaun snapped his tiny fingers. The real Jeff magically appeared in the room with them.
Professionals!
Jeff looked around.
Oh, crap.
President of China clapped his hands in delight.
It worked! It worked! I did not even have to sing the song this time!